السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. صلى الله على محمد سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. This is the last Friday of the year 2022, and I have decided to share with you the advice that Hazrat Luqman gave to his son. It's important to realize that although this was an advice that a father is giving to a son, but the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala includes that in the Quran, it means that this is also an advice for each one of us. Otherwise, he wouldn't be putting that in the divine book. And this is basically from chapter 31 of the Quran, which is actually named after Luqman. So you have Surah Luqman. Now, we are not sure about him being in the list of the Anbiya. There is no confirmation from Ayat of Quran or the Hadith of the Ahlul Bayt about it. And this is, but we know for sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, had considered him to be worthy of being blessed with knowledge and hikmah and wisdom. In actually ayat number 12 of that surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ, that we blessed Luqman with wisdom, and اشكر لله, and so that he may thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ, and whoever thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not that Allah benefits anything from it, it is the benefit of the person who is thanking Allah. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ, whoever is ungrateful, doesn't thank Allah for the blessing that he has given, they should know that Allah is ghani. He is free from need. He doesn't need your praise or your thanks. Wa hamid, and he is all praising. One more point, Luqman, from the indications that we have, he actually comes from Abyssinian area. So he's not necessarily an Arab or a white Caucasian. You know, he is from the African continent. The preamble of the section where Luqman is talking to his son, this is where ayat number 13 of this surah 31 starts. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانَ لِإِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ, that remember when Luqman was advising, doing maw'idha to his son. And there are six things that Luqman mentions to his son. We'll go through three of them in the first khutbah and the other three in the second khutbah, inshallah. The very first thing, يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. The simple translation would be that, O my son, do not associate anyone with Allah and His divinity, because shirk and polytheism, you know, assigning a partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is la zulmun azim. This is a very grievous or a very serious sin. The word zulm here is in the meaning of sins. And this is where we realize the word zalim is used in different meanings. Many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you are the people who have been zalimi anfusihim, who were volume to themselves, in a sense that they were sinful, they committed sins, and they made themselves liable for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the very first advice of Luqman to his son is about Tawheed. Tawheed is our foundation of the faith. There is no compromise on that issue at all. And this is one of the beauties of Islam, is that when it comes to the fundamental concepts, Islam has not compromised at all. It is a world religion, but it doesn't go around and say, okay, you know, maybe 3 days of the week you can still continue worshiping your idol, and 4 days worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was absolutely no room for any level of compromise when it came to believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as wahid, as only one, and worshiping him. And this is where you will see across the board, in, you know, when Islam went from the Arabian Peninsula, even there the fight in Mecca was between Tawheed and Shirk. And when Islam went to, let's say, Minor Asia or Persia, it replaced the belief system. It did not totally eliminate the culture of other people. There's two differences, you know, on the belief system and the way of life. The way of life is a cultural issue. It depends on one area to other, there would be difference. It depends, you know, also on the natural resources available to the people in one part of the world compared to the other part of the world. So when it came to the cultural issues, Islam had this compromising attitude, that as long as things are done according to the, within the bounds of the Sharia, there is no problem. But when it came to the Aqidah, there was no room for compromise. That has to be replaced totally. So if you were dual worshipper in Persia, you had to change that to Tawheed. You went to India, you know, Islam goes there, you know, doesn't compromise with the issue of worshipping idols. And this is where we see that, you know, one of the attributes or one of the achievements of the Prophet of Islam, many people do not realize that when a person reaches to that level of, you know, respect and honor and love and devotion, loyalty, there is always this danger that the followers would start, you know, looking at person above the level he is. You look at Isa ibn Maryam, who was just a prophet and a Nabi, a great prophet, but he was elevated to being son of God and then the God himself. And this danger has been there. Probably even Hinduism has gone through the same problem. And therefore, in our faith, we are told you do not abuse people like Ram and Krishna. Probably they never claimed to be gods themselves. They were just the Anbiya sent for that part of the world. We don't know because we don't have any confirmation in the Quran and Hadith about that. But maybe the people elevated them and started worshipping them, just as in case of Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam. And so this danger is always there. And the beauty of the achievement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he basically taught Tawheed in such a way that people will always know the difference between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul. And I think one of the most important ways by which he did it, by introducing the method of reciting tashahud in salat. Every day, Muslims in their salat, when they recite the tashahud, they begin by the words, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. And after that, we acknowledge the importance of the Prophet. But look at the words, Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, his servant. He's teaching us, remember me as the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you remember me as his rasul and his messenger. So this was always to maintain that, you know, difference between the status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet. And I can extend that, that even when we look at the third sentence in this tashahhud, what is it? When we talk about Muhammadan, Ali Muhammad, what is it? It is dua. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. When you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, you already have created a difference there. They are not God. You are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. So that concept of, you know, maintaining the status of Allah as our creator, our Lord, and Rasul as Rasul, and Ahlul Bayt as the successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Salawat. Then Luqman goes immediately from Tawheed to the last of our Usuluddin. He talks about Qiyamah. Ya Bunayya, innaha intaku misqala habbatin min khardal, fatakunu fi sakhratin aw fi samawat aw fi al-ard, ya'ti bihi Allah, inna Allah latifun khabir. He says, oh my son, whatever you do in this dunya, remember, you know, you do good or bad, even if it is as small as the weight of the grain of mustard seed. I was thinking about it. I forgot to bring it, actually. I wanted to show you whether you can see it or not. It's so small, you know, that you cannot really see it that easily. And, you know, so he's saying to his son, remember, whatever you do, good or bad, even if it is as small as the mustard seed, no matter where you hide it, you know, فَتَكُنْ فِي سَخَرَةٍ, if it is inside a hard rock, or أَفِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ, or hide it somewhere in the heavens, and those days there's no planes. But maybe you want to put your, you know, bed deeds in the, on the Mars, if you can go and fly there. You know, but the point is that here, you're already being told, whether you hide it in a hard rock or somewhere in the heavens, or fil ard, or deep in the earth, ya'ti bihi Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring that to you. And you will see that. Inna Allah latifun khabir, Allah is kind and aware. And this is where we see that, you know, the first advice is Tawheed, the second one is Qiyamah. The first one is a reflection of what we say, inna lillah, and the second is a reflection of wa inna ilayhi raji'un. These are not only words to be said at the time of death of someone. It's to be, you know, understood that our life is that way. Inna lillah, we belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and eventually we have to return to Him. So, Tawheed is there, Qiyamah is there, so I'm fine now? No. You know, people say, oh, mera dil saaf hai. For those who don't understand Urdu, you know, I'm good inside. If really your soul is that pure, your mind is that clear and pure, it has to reflect in your actions. You can't just say, I'm a good person inside. You know, this whole terminology used by our ulama, Usuluddin and Furuddin, has a connection there. Roots of religion is the aqidah, which is inside. And furu'd-din, the branches. If there are no branches, no fruits, it means the roots are rotten. And so if tawheed and qiyamah is there, it has to reflect in amal and action. And the very most important amal there is, ya bunayya aqim as-salat. O my son, perform the ritual prayers. And this is where, you know, this is basically when we talk about salat, it's an expression of our submission and gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the first three, you know, advice that Luqman gave to his son. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand that and, you know, convey this on to our next generation, inshallah. إن أحسن الحديث كتاب الله العزيز. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم، غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العتوف على عباده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه. ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه. سيد المرسلين والشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين، صلى الله عليه وآله، الداعي إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة، قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة. أوصيكم عباد الله بتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم. Going on to the last three more advice that we have from Luqman speaking to his own son. Number four, so we had Tawheed and Qiyamah and then the ritual prayers, As-Salat. The fourth one here, this is very important. We are told that it is not good enough for us to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to believe in the Qiyamah. And of course, you know, he doesn't talk about Nubuwwah because it is understood you can't get these messages unless through those who have come with that message. So that is kind of embedded in that concept of Nubuwwah. And then Salat comes in, but we are told this is not enough for yourself. You also should have concern for the spiritual well-being of the community. And so the fourth advice of Luqman is wa'mur bil ma'ruf wanha 'anil munkar. Bid the good and forbid the evil. So it's not only good to become good myself, I try and work, beginning with my own family. And then the circle, you know, increases. Those who associate with them, you know, circle of friends, and then the community at large. And this is where we have to realize that Islam is not an individualistic religion. It talks about the well-being of the community and the society in general. In doing that, Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar, you know, you will need patience. And that's where Luqman now is coming to number five. Wasbir ala ma asabaka, inna dhalika min azmil umur. And bear patiently whatever befalls you in the way of Allah. Verily, the virtue of sabr is from the issues that needs a strong will. Azmul Umur. And this is where, you know, when you are talking about practicing Islam, you know, there will be challenges. And we face challenges within and even outside the community. Whether it is the pressure peer within the family, within our own community, or outside. And this is where we have to be patient. And even especially when we go around doing Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar. When we, you know, when we do sabr, basically it has different levels. You know, there is sabr and patience in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is sabr in resisting the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there is a sabr where we go through suffering as a test and trial. And at all those levels, you know, sabr becomes very important for us. And the sixth advice that Luqman has to do with akhlaq. So we talked about tawheed, about qiyamah, about salat, amr bil ma'roof, and maintaining sabr. And then he talks about akhlaq, you know, how do we interact with one another? And one of the biggest problems is the issue of arrogance. You know, takabbur. And this is where he uses some very strong terms, where he says, وَلَا تُسَعِرْ خَدَّقَ لِلنَّاسِ Do not turn your face away from the people in contempt. If somebody is approaching you and you know he's coming to you and then you turn your face away, you're kind of insulting that person. Number one, وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا And nor should you walk on the earth arrogantly. إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور Surely Allah does not love anyone who is deceitful and boasting person. And number three, وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْرِيكِ Even in the way you walk. You know, be moderate in the way you walk. وَقْصِدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكِ So don't be, you know, very arrogant in the way you take your strides. If you're jogging, that's fine. We're talking about, you know, when you're interacting with people. And number two, وَغْزِزْ مِنْ صَوْتِكِ Even your voice. You know, be moderate, lower it down. Don't think that if you can shout, you will be accepted easily. No, that doesn't mean because in أَنْكَرْ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتِ الْحَمِيرِ Because the most disgusting of the voices is the braying of the donkeys. They can shout more than you. You know, so this is the example Luqman is giving to his son. And this is where we had to realize that when he talked about sabr earlier, and then he talks about this issue of akhlaq, you see, sabr is an inner dimension of our own character on a personal level. This issue of akhlaq and interaction with other people, this is an outer dimension. This is where we are interacting with other people. And that's where we have to be careful as far as our face is concerned. You know, when we talk about walking as well as our voice. Now, before I, you know, end the khutbah, I hope, you know, I might take a few minutes extra today, but in the spirit of the holiday, you will forgive me for that. A very interesting point in this whole section of Surah Luqman, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by saying that, you know, Luqman advised his son, and then he gives the advice. Talked about Tawheed, and then Qiyamah, and then Salat, and then Amr bil Ma'ruf and Ahl Munkar, then Sabr, then Akhlaq. But in between the first and the second advice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as if in brackets, adds his own advice there. Between Tawheed and Qiyamah. And what is that? You know, the first advice of Luqman was, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah inna shirka la dhulmun azeem. And then he goes on to say, you know, Ya bunayya inna... إِنَّهَا إِن تَكُن مِسْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ You know, the example of the mustard seed. In between, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adds two verses, which is not from Luqman. It is from himself. And that is about respecting the parents. And the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has interjected this in between is just to make us realize that, yes, amal is very important. And one of the important things is to, you know, respect your parents. وَوَسَّيْنَ الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now says that as an interjection to this advice of Luqman that, and we have advised or enjoined the human being regarding his parents. He singles out the mother. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالَهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ Then remember the mother who carried you in very difficult times. Difficult ways, and you know, fed you for 2 years. What is the advice? what is the enjoyment Allah is giving to us about the parents? Anishkur li wali walidayk. He says, you have to thank me. But not only me, wali walidayk and your parents. I am the provider. I am the creator. But the provision doesn't come to you directly. I'm using your parents as your wasila. Those people who have a problem with wasila, this is wasila. Parents become the intermediary of Allah's grace to us. And therefore he says, do not only thank me, also thank your parents, ilayya al-masir, because eventually you will come to me. And I'm going to question you about that. Not only that, he goes to the extent where if you have parents who are idol worshippers, when jahadaka ala, this was a very common issue during the days when Quran was being revealed. There were many Muslims whose parents were still mushrik. So he says, وَإِن جَاهَدَكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. That what happens to the parents who are idol worshippers? Even there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if your parents insist on you to associate anything with me that you don't know about it, فَلَا تُتِعْهِمَا, do not obey them. On the matter of tawheed and shirk, there is no compromise. But what is, and then what? Immediately he says, فَلَا تُتِعْهِمَا, do not obey them, وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا, and still behave with them in a kind manner in this dunya. Once they have died or you have died, your paths would be separate. But at least in dunya, still you have to maintain your kindness towards them and respect for them without compromising in your aqidah. And this is where we have to realize وَطَّبِ سَبِيلَ مَنْ عَنَابَ إِلَيَّ, and follow the path of the one who are, you know, turning to me. ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرَجِعُكُمْ, your return is to me and I will inform you of what you are. And so that's an important message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala added in this advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quoted from Luqman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to reflect in these six advices that Luqman has given to us. And may we always be on the path of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, inshallah. اللهم صل على سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. تقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه. وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها. وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المشتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليه الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان. ما حيا صار البدء والطغيان هادم يا أبنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فر البغي والشقاق. صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آباء الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام. اللهم عجل فرج وصح المخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه ذكرى ذي القربى وينهى عن